Well, more than a million homes have already been lost to foreclosure in the last 2 years, and undoubtedly there are more ahead. Ryan Chittum is a business writer for the Columbia Journalism Review, and as such, he's reported on foreclosures. But as a young person, he went through one, and he wrote about that recently in the review as well. It's quite a story that got quite a response, and we want to spend some time on that today. Ryan joins us from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. Ryan, let's start at the beginning. You were 15. This was in the 90s when this happened. Can you describe your family situation before the foreclosure?
Well, my folks were blue-collar. My dad worked a graveyard shift at a grocery store, and in the daytime, he laid carpet. And my mom worked in the cafeteria of my school so she could be home when we got home. You know, we lived in South Tulsa, in a three-bedroom house on a big lot. You know, we weren't rich by any means, but we went on vacation every year, and you know, had this sort of like decent middle-class Americana lifestyle.
Your dad laying carpet during the day came across a lot of fumes and got sick.
Yeah, you know, he'd been a workaholic all his life, working 70, 80 hours a week. I mean, just all the time. And then I started to realize that he'd been sick for a while and hadn't worked. And I remember asking my mom what was going on, and they didn't know. And he was pretty much laid up for weeks and weeks, and went to the doctors, and they couldn't tell him what was wrong. And this turned into a couple-year ordeal where he was basically unable to work, and sometimes even to get out of bed.
Well, as your dad got sicker, of course, the financial problems started mounting up. His workman's compensation ran out. Your parents ran through their savings, which was just $10,000, including retirement,
right,
from 17 years at Skaggs. They started getting behind on their house payments. Now, what kind of mortgage did they have at that point?
They had a traditional 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Right.
This was in the mid-'80s, I think, when they got it. Interest rates were high at that time. I think 13%, I think, was what theirs was.
Right. And so their mortgage had no funny business. You know, it was your plain old mortgage with $800 monthly payments, but they started to fall behind. At this point, you know, you and your sister are qualifying for free lunches. Your family went on food stamps. Describe, by the way, your family's reaction to being on food stamps, because your parents were conservative Republicans.
Right.
How did your mom react to that?
Well, it was... They were ashamed. You know, their philosophy and how I was raised and how their parents raised them was that if you work hard in America, you will be fine. You'll get ahead. Things will work out for you. And they're, you know, it just didn't take into account that you might not be able to work.
It wasn't that easy on you as a teenager either. I mean, you write about how
you just
used to go stand in the parking lot. You didn't want to see it.
Right. Well, I can remember when we first got food stamps, and I knew at a young age that this was embarrassing. And we went through the grocery store. It happened to be one that my dad had worked at before, and I can remember the first time that we went through the line, and my mom had to use the food stamps, and she just started crying at the checkout. And I learned pretty quickly that it was easier for me that when we got to the checkout line, I just went to the parking lot or the camera bar up front and just avoided the whole scene because I was so embarrassed. It's something that makes me feel terrible today, abandoning my mother at the time. But, it's a really hard thing to deal with. And not just as a kid, obviously, as my mom showed as an adult.
Yeah. Well, creditors are calling. Your dad spending hours on the phone with them, even though he was disabled, he can't work. He has no way of paying them. At a certain point, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, gets involved. By the way, what did they do? Did they renegotiate the mortgage payments? How did they help out?
It was a program that lowered the payment for a couple years down to $68 a month, which was about all they could afford. You know, my mom was making $7,000, $8,000 a year in the cafeteria and couldn't quit to look for another job and didn't have a college degree. So she was kind of stuck there, and I just lost my train of thought.
No, okay, this is tough to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to, writing that piece was, it was like pulling my teeth on myself or something. It was, I hated every minute of it. I had my editor, Dean Starkman, kept encouraging me to do it. I didn't know if I should do it. He thought that it was a useful story for others in the business press to read.
Well, tell us a little more about that. Let's switch to that. That may be even easier, actually. So why did you do this? What, you know, given that it was so hard, why did you tell this story?
I was talking to Dean about foreclosures and how we just didn't think that the tenor of the coverage had been right. There was something missing about the misery of, you know, what millions of people are going through now. And so, you know, I told him, I've been through this. And this is something that I had spent years trying to cover up. You know, when I was in school, I didn't want to be the poor kid. I didn't have the best clothes. I didn't, you know, I was eating the free lunch. And so pulling it out was difficult. But he said, you know, I think you need to do it. And I came to agree with him just because, you know, there's a long history in media criticism of noting how journalists, especially in the last 35 years or so, don't come from this, you know, the same class as the vast majority of Americans, I think. And this isn't to say that reporters who have lost a home can't cover this with empathy and with enough power. But, you know, the crisis has swelled and it's the focus is on Wall Street at this particular moment, rightly so. But we've got to remember that the cavity at the heart of this is people losing their houses. When you hear a million people losing their houses, your eyes glaze over, but 90% of them, I'd say some of these were speculators, of course, but 90% of them are people sort of like me that lost their house. You know, they've got kids, they've got whatever, and it's a really difficult thing to do, and it sets you back in your life several years.
Well, eventually, Ryan's family was evicted. That's Ryan Chittum, business writer for the Columbia Journalism Review, who wrote recently about the foreclosure of his family's home when he was 15. In a minute, we'll hear how his parents got back on their feet, but incredibly got into another mortgage down the road and through a nefarious agent found themselves with interest rates that shot up. We'll hear about that and about how Ryan's readers reacted to his story. Later today, also, Election Day. Welcome back to our conversation with Ryan Chittum, business writer for the Columbia Journalism Review, who writes about foreclosures and went through one as a teen when his dad became sick and could no longer work. After the family lost their home in 93, they moved to a duplex, but his dad got sicker, and then they moved to an apartment in a pretty rough complex. So, Ryan, what was that like for a kid being evicted?
Well, it was just this sort of, you know, my whole life had been relatively secure. I'd felt this feeling. You don't know that you've felt secure until you lose that sense of security. And I think that's what it was. We were on the edge and were able to stay in that house for, you know, a few years because of the safety net program. But it was something that still affects us today.
Well, you say it's like a piece missing or something. It's like a piece of your self-esteem missing.
Right. And, you know, at a critical time, you know, I was 15 and a half when we lost the house. And that's a difficult age, you know, going through high school and peer pressure. And so to have this, you know, your home is, your castle is a cliche, but it's true. And when the walls have been breached, I never felt nearly as safe and secure of my place and my family's place in the world.
Yeah. Well, you write that it colored your worldview ever since, and you became a business writer. A shrink would maybe have a field day with that.
Yeah. it was accidental, trust me. I didn't intend to do it.
Your sister is doing well as well. Your parents did get back on their feet eventually. Your dad became a truck driver. Then, incredibly, in 2001, just a few years ago, now they're older now, they did purchase another home with a conventional fixed mortgage. And then they went to refinance. Now you, the business, you know, budding business writer, you tell them, don't get an adjustable rate mortgage. It's going to shoot up at some point. They say, don't worry, we didn't. Then what?
Well, I'd always tried to give them, advice when I was a kid. And of course, they never listened to me. Once I became a reporter at the Wall Street Journal, they tended to take my financial advice more seriously. And I told them, don't get an adjustable rate mortgage. And there's a lot of chicanery going on out there. And they got a loan, and unbeknownst to them, the mortgage broker had put them in an ARM with a prepayment penalty if they sold within 4 years. So when they went to move out of town, and they told me that that they had gotten, you know, this ARM and this prepayment penalty, I was furious at them. But they told me they didn't know. They had specifically said that they didn't want anything like that and had gotten put into it. And my folks, they're not financial experts, they're not lawyers, but they're not stupid people, you know. But this happened to them. Up until then, I covered commercial real estate at the Journal. I didn't cover housing directly, but it's kind of a cousin. So, you know, I touched on it a little bit. Mm. But it was a little bit hard for me to believe that people got put into these things unbeknownst to them, that the mortgage industry was really as corrupt as it had gotten. My dad has been self-employed most of his life, and he does business on a handshake, and I think he's trusted people too much, and I think that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, they had to structure a lease purchase agreement with a buyer so that they wouldn't have to pay that big prepayment penalty.
And we're hoping that the lease purchaser will come through on his end of the deal, because when they signed this, the market wasn't quite as bad off as it is now.
Well, so now you're telling your family's whole tale. What do you think of some of the reaction that you've gotten? People, you know, while often seeming, you know, to be try to be kind to you and your story, don't seem to be buying your theory that your family represents other families that have gone into foreclosure. Here's a comment from Carl. He writes, "Ryan, as touching as your story was, and I say that with no sarcasm, we all know that most people facing foreclosure now are in the position they're in because of bad choices, not as in your father's first case, bad luck, you know, with his health." And here's Ed. He writes about the last mortgage that your family found themselves in with the ARM, you know, the adjustable rate. "Come on now. They signed the house purchase documents and didn't know they had an ARM. I find this very difficult to believe. Mind you, these were not novice home buyers and had been through the process once before. I've had enough of the unscrupulous mortgage broker's story. The truth is there were willing buyers who took advantage of the system. Sure, they now say they were bilked. But as anyone who goes through a settlement knows, everything is explained in excruciating detail." What do you say? I mean, people, you know, some of us may have been touched by your story, but it seems like a lot of people got angry. What's your thought about that?
There is a lot of anger, and it's been building for a long time. And I don't think it's inappropriate anger. I think that there are a lot of people out there that did make bad choices.
Living above their means.
Living above their means, but everybody wanted to get in on the act. You know, housing prices were going up. You know, and there was not an insignificant amount of speculation.
The flippers.
The flippers. And nobody has a sympathy for their speculators. But as much as people might want to believe because they themselves had an honest mortgage broker, and I think most mortgage brokers are honest, but if you have 10% say that aren't, that's a big deal. A lot of these loans, we know people were refinanced or put into loans that they couldn't afford unbeknownst to them. Most people aren't, I don't think, are hiring lawyers to help them close a house. Now, I expected that when I wrote this piece. It was part of why it was such a cringeworthy experience for me to write it. People who did things right and aren't in trouble, when other people get bailed out, you know, I think there's a natural tendency to react against that. But I think we just can't forget that not only, and I hate to be, you know, maudlin or whatever, but, you know, through my experience, there's lots of kids involved. You know, they didn't do this, and they're going to have to go through this. And it also has policy implications because this sort of populist anger at fellow citizens means that with the current bailout plan, the administration hasn't felt as much pressure as it probably should to help out homeowners while they're handing out trillions of dollars to Wall Street. I think, you know, there needs to be something done about the housing situation. I don't know what it is, but this sort of reaction, I think, plays into politicians' ability to sidestep the issue.
Ryan Chittum, business writer for the Columbia Journalism Review, who wrote about the foreclosure of his own home when he was 15. Ryan, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And there is news today from...